welcome you to our fifth collaboration mindset program, brought to you by AAA Physical Therapy, awarded Patients' Choice winner for 2016 with Open Care located in Columbia, Maryland, which again is voted as best city to live in. So if you haven't dropped by here, feel free to visit us here. And of course, with Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College. As a friendly reminder, we are streaming live every Friday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You may also easily download our podcast when you want to listen to our program any day, anytime, anywhere. We are also going to showcase this program in our YouTube site, so just kindly search for AAA Physical Therapy and feel free to share and like our videos on our channel. Being that this program is about collaboration, wherein we have interviewed so far a lawyer and attorney Clark and discussed on what to do with auto accidents and how physical therapy could help with such injuries, Dr. Valera Colon and Dr. Nelson about collaborating with doctors in terms of rehabilitation with patients and with their telemedicine program, and Professor Brekeva for the physical therapy assistant program here at Howard Community College, wherein we discuss on how physical therapy should be chosen as one of the first options in working with pain management and other rehabilitation process. As always, we are blessed with guests who are leaders in both the public and private sectors. And today, we are happy to have Ms. Kelly Kessler, who is the director of the Howard County Local Health Improvement Coalition. Kelly's previous professional roles have included serving most recently as the Community Health Director for Common, Maryland. Ms. Kessler has also served as the Assistant Director of Health Promotion for the University of Maryland and the Vice President of Program Services for the American Lung Association of Maryland. Ms. Kessler earned her BS in School Health Education from the University of Maryland and earned her master's degree in community health education from Towson University in 2002. Kelly is a 16-year cancer survivor and an active volunteer for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, supporting newly diagnosed individuals. Kelly enjoys spending time with her family and friends and resides in Howard County with her husband and three children. Now, we always hear about people, or should I say our heroes or inspiration, we have triumph over cancer, and we find this really cool that we have one right now as our guest, much less. So, again, welcome, Ms. Kessler, to our Collaboration Mindset program.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
All right. So, let's get to it. So, what is the Local Health Improvement Coalition, or to shorten it, LHIC, and its main objective or objectives?
We are a collaborative group of about 220 individual members representing 60 to 70 organizations that live, work, serve, or play here in Howard County, Maryland. Our primary goal or our vision is that all residents of Howard County will have access to health care and health outcomes that will be equitable for everyone. So we really work to achieve health equity in Howard County. We look at areas where not everyone is perhaps benefiting from the wonderful resources we have in the county, and we try to fill those gaps. We try to ensure that everyone has access to health, has access to the tools that they need to live long, strong, healthy lives and stay here and continue to grow here in Howard County.
Wonderful. Thank you. So you mentioned this is a little known treasure. So for us not to have not to do a treasure hunt unnecessarily and just make things easier. And you mentioned, okay, so organizations, but you're part of the government. So who could actually join and or participate here?
Well, so what's exciting, and I know you may have people who don't necessarily reside in Howard County, every community in Maryland has a local health improvement coalition. We're actually a coalition that's mandated by the state of Maryland. And so in Howard County, we're very fortunate that our office, our coalition, is supported in partnership and funded by the Howard County Health Department. It's also co-chaired by Dr. Maura Rossman, our health officer, and Mr. Stephen Snellgrove, the president of Howard County General Hospital. Anyone in the community is welcome and invited to consider learning more, joining the coalition. Some individuals really enjoy being a member and kind of just staying in touch to hear what's going on. Some individuals really want to participate in the coalition and roll up their sleeves and do activities and be engaged in a different level. And there's a place and a space for everyone, depending on what their interest is. In Howard County, you can easily find us. Our website is www.hclhic.org, so howardcountylhic.org. And you can also use that same HCLHIC to follow us on Twitter or to follow us on Facebook. And one of the great things that we do is really try to just make people aware of activities that are taking place in our community for anyone to get involved. Our membership includes everyone from medical providers to individual community members. We have a growing number of individuals who are retired, who have raised their families here in Howard County, who have worked here in, you know, the surrounding community, and really are just looking for different ways to give back and use their energy and now newfound time in their retirement. We have members who represent the faith communities. We have members who represent governmental organizations, the schools. We're really interested in engaging with members of service organizations, fraternities, sororities, other groups that might be passionate or have a passion around health and are really looking to engage with others in the community around things that are important to them.
So again, it's the community members and also, again, the private sectors and also parts of the government, as you mentioned, in terms of HCGH being part of it. But why should community members and other organizations be part of this then?
Really, community members and businesses that are here in Howard County, we're your coalition. We're your voice. We're here to try to fill gaps and meet needs for all of the same people. So for a business, a small business owner, part of, I'll use real estate as an example. Part of the allure of Howard County is that we are a wonderful community to live in, and we prioritize things. When you can say, and you can be very in tune and can very much speak to your clients about what is going on around wellness and health issues and access to care in your community, it not only provides you as a resident or as a business owner in the community with education, networking opportunity, but it also provides you with a better way to communicate to the people that you're trying to serve. So if you're serving a client who's looking to move to Howard County and maybe something that they're worried about leaving their old community is, well, my old community had great bike paths. Well, I'm well aware because I'm part of the Healthy Weight Work Group that not only does Howard County have a priority of being a walkable and bikeable community, but I can also tell you because I'm familiar with or I've networked with who you can contact. I can tell you about resources for bike pathway apps. And so you can download the, you know, how do I get around the CA bike paths? And it'll help you even to do your job better.
What is the short-term strategic plan of LHIC?
So I probably will talk a little bit about the short-term and the long-term plans, quite honestly. Every 2 years, the coalition meets to establish its priorities. And we pick 2 years because oftentimes working on certain initiatives, it takes time and energy and effort to secure commitment and engage individuals and engage organizations. But I would say that one of our short-term goals really is looking to make sure that people know we're here, make sure people are aware, and make sure people can feel comfortable utilizing us, that I may not know where all the walks that are going on in Howard County are. I may not know where all of the resources for behavioral health are, but I know that the Howard County Local Health Improvement Coalition will help connect me. And so one of our short-term goals is really to increase our recognition as a convener or a connector, that we can help our Howard County residents find the answers that they need or find the resources that they need. On a long-term level, we have identified 4 priority areas in our coalition that we are working on. We work a lot on reducing obesity in our county, and that includes increasing physical activity. It includes working around people that are of a healthy weight already, keeping them of healthy weight, and for those who are obese, working to help them to lose weight and to be in better health that way. So healthy weight is one of our main focal areas. We also look at healthy aging. Howard County is a population, it's an aging community. So many folks have, and you know, as we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Columbia, it still seems so young, but at the same time, those people who were sort of the original Columbia families are now looking at a different type of aging in Howard County. And they're looking at, how do I make my home more accessible? What do I need to think about planning for my future? I'm looking at retirement now. And what do I wish I had known when I was in my 20s that I am now trying to deal with? And so we look at healthy aging around helping everyone learn to plan for their future. Behavioral health, obviously we're in our county, as well as many counties in the state and nationally, we are faced with an opioid epidemic. And so our coalition has made behavioral health a priority, not just in dealing with addiction-related emergencies, and the opioid epidemic certainly is a crisis that we are addressing, but we also look at mental health in our community, and we look at suicide prevention in our community. I would say that everyone in Howard County, in some way, shape, or form, has been touched by mental health issues or circumstances, and certainly we work to give priority and really to reduce the stigma around talking about those things, because there are many resources and there are supports for assistance, and so really trying to break down the barriers to getting people to talk about those things. And then lastly, we have a priority around access to care. Initially, access to care in our coalition, our goals had a lot to do with enrolling people for health insurance. Certainly, there are lots of questions that exist right now in respects to coverage and what will coverage mean. But what we really focus on a lot is, regardless of having health insurance or not, what are the barriers, other barriers that people are facing to care? We talk about something we refer to as social determinants of health, but there are a lot of things that affect our health that may have nothing to do directly with our health insurance per se. It might be transportation. Whether or not I have health insurance, if I can't get to the doctor, I have a concern. That's a barrier. Economics, finances. I may know, because I've been educated, that I need to have a regular annual physical, or that my children, you know, need to have their regular dental screenings. But if I'm an hourly employee and I can't take off work, or I'm at risk of losing my job if I take time away, or other factors, we work to look to address those things. Food security. We have many, many residents in Howard County, many more than people probably believe or would recognize, that really do rely on support from the Howard County Food Bank. They rely on support from other organizations. The school system just announced this summer, for example, that they will have 4 sites that will remain open to provide lunches and meals while the schools are closed for the summer, because we have so many children who do rely on free and reduced lunch. So our access to care group is really focused on addressing other barriers to care. We certainly do address health insurance. We look at making sure people know how to access health care, how to enroll, that they can come and they can access the door to health care to help have questions answered if they need insurance. If they have questions about Medicare or Medicaid, we try to connect them with the right folks. But we also look at those other barriers. So I think those are really our long-term objectives, are to address those 4 main areas in our community.
Wow. For the listeners, we were part of some of the events that they just did in terms of financial planning, and it's really, really helpful to have those. And I know you were also handing out the yellow packets. What's inside those yellow packets again?
So we have, we were very fortunate, our coalition, our priority around financial and legal planning, we were the recipients. We were one of 3 counties in the state, actually, that received a grant through the Department of Health in partnership with the Alzheimer's Association to conduct education. And so through that, we were able to fund, we're calling them sort of a planning for the future kit, so to speak, which is really providing a checklist and tools for individuals to think about the things that we need to think about in planning for the future. Sometimes people get caught up in thoughts. They think specifically about the future, i.e. like if I'm sick or dying. Those are very important. Naming a healthcare agent, having conversations about your end-of-life wishes, those are incredibly important. But we also want people to think about, do I have an estate plan? Have I thought about where I want to live when I'm older? Have I thought about who might take care of me if I can't take care of myself? Have I thought about finances? Have I met with a financial planner? Sometimes you think, and I've thought this myself, sometimes I don't have enough money to have anything to plan. But the reality is, I have 3 children, and whether I have no money in my checking account or I have lots of money in my checking account, I have an estate, and I actually do need an estate plan. A lot of people don't really realize that. And sometimes when we think about future planning, we get so caught up in focusing on one area of future planning that we don't think about the bigger picture. And so that's something that we have really tried to do and are trying to do with the kits, and fortunately have received a grant to help move that forward.
And obviously, that's whether 20 years old or 70 years old.
Exactly. It's never too early or late. I actually just had a conversation with my 18-year-old the other day. We were talking about job opportunities, and I suggested to him that he needed to look at, you know, certain types of positions. I said, well, you know, some positions you can already start investing in retirement. He said, well, I'm 18. What do I need to think about? And I said, and you know what? When you're an adult and you're paying for me because I didn't think about that when I was 18, you'll know why you needed to think about that when you were 18. So you're never too young or too old to be thinking about your future.
Exactly. So after the recording, I will give you my information for your estate plan. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Wonderful. You also mentioned earlier that, again, private organizations are part of it, and obviously us being a physical therapy practice. How do you think of physical therapy could be involved and help a little bit more with these strategic plans of LHIC?
Well, definitely, I think physical therapy is a key discipline, really, in respects to the coalition across the gamut. You know, in our interaction, AAA has definitely been a part and worked very closely with us in our healthy aging activities. And physical therapy is certainly a resource and a tool that can be utilized with the aging community to help them stay in their homes longer, age in their homes longer, and be healthier longer. And so I think that there's certainly a ton of opportunity for that. But even across looking at, you know, behavioral health, you know, right now, one of the biggest crises that we have in our community is around the opioid epidemic. And what we find are that a lot of people are first exposed or experiencing opioid use through pain management and pain medication, and knowing that physical therapy and some of the work that goes into that in a way of helping people manage chronic pain or chronic health conditions that way is certainly something. Engaging people like yourself in, you know, understanding sort of the bigger context and the fight, so to speak, around that, and sort of the global issues around that, and then becoming or entrusting all our coalition members to be sort of carriers of that message. So when you leave a meeting and we've talked about what's going on and it's new statewide resources and what could you potentially add to your own website, taking that forward and carrying it into your practice and then carrying it forward into your field, that's the best way to really affect positive change. So through physical therapy and in our partnership, I think it's a great example. But I would say that on a model level for other practitioners in other disciplines, not necessarily clinical even, that same thing is true. And that's what we would hope to see in our membership and collaborative efforts.
And thank you for bringing up the opioid, the situation that we're having here. And in again, in relation to behavior health. So to those listeners that may not necessarily be aware, exactly what's an opioid then?
Opioids are basically drugs that are derived from opium. In some cases, there are prescription types of opioids. So you may have oxycodone. I mean, there's a wide range of those types of medications that are prescribed for pain management. But then there are also a wide variety, and there's all kinds of street names for others. But we would be talking about heroin and other drugs of that type. And so what we have seen in our community is, and actually in surrounding communities, where drugs are actually now being combined and mixed together, and some very, very dangerous combinations of drugs are seeing an increase in fentanyl use and other such drugs. The thing with opioids is it kind of like our healthy aging work group, right? It covers the entire span. The opioid epidemic, it really covers the entire span. It's something that, you know, someone really can become addicted or be exposed to opioids in many ways. I mean, you have children who are dealing with chronic, you know, for example, a child who may be going through treatment for chemotherapy, who may be given opioids for pain management, all the way up to, you know, an adult and even an end-of-life pain management. And then you have, I don't want to use the term, you know, you have the more street version. People are exposed in a wide variety of ways to that. And what we're seeing are, again, a rise in really dangerous combinations. And I think across the board, people are really looking at making changes to how those drugs are prescribed. How are we monitoring and controlling pain from the clinical level? And then from the community perspective, trying to empower community members to handle and to be familiar with the what can they do in a situation where it might be, you know, someone's home or something along those lines. So one example is we have a very robust overdose response prevention and overdose response program. Anyone in Howard County can actually receive a free training at the health department, and they actually receive free naloxone, which is the life-saving medication that can reverse the effects of an opioid overdose. They receive training on how to put together, you know, the device, how to administer the drug. And you know, by kind of empowering community members to be in that situation and also letting people know we do have a good Samaritan law. Sometimes people are, you know, maybe they recognize that a person is in crisis, but they're afraid, like, there's drugs in the house, like, I don't want to call, or they're afraid of getting that person in trouble or getting themselves in trouble. Good Samaritan law, help first. And that's something that we really do work to try to put out in the community. On the LHIC website, the www.hclhic.org, there is an area, behavioral health resources, and there's a number of informational pieces, video clips, PSA messages, resources where you can connect for information. If you're a community resident and you are passionate about this issue and you just want to share information, there's a lot of information and resources that you can share on your own social media. And so we'd encourage you to visit that and also help us carry that forward. If you're interested in the overdose response training programs, that information is listed on our community calendar. And you can certainly always reach out to us at that website as well, and we can connect you with it.
And I just recently got that certificate or card in order to go ahead and do that.
It's a really easy training, and it's very interesting. And, you know, it's actually a real service to the community that, you know, you then, and when you've gone through the overdose response training program, should you need to administer the drug, you can take your certificate in to any pharmacy and they will, you know, resupply you with a standing order so you don't have to go back and take the training again. So, you know, if it means saving somebody's life, I think it's worth an hour of anyone's time.
No doubt. And then, and obviously, the more we share what this training is about and providing more education about the abuse that's going on, whether it's legal or illegal drugs, if you may. And speaking of social media, I know you mentioned about the website and all of these other programs. I know there's a survey out there about the opioid.
The health department was working with the University of Maryland, and I'm not sure. I believe the survey may have closed recently or will be closing soon. To gain information around what people actually know or don't know about opioids in the community. It's kind of interesting because, you know, there's also, we talk about stigma in mental health, but the same is true with addiction and sort of the stigma around, well, it's heroin versus it's oxycodone. And, you know, there are some very well-known individuals who have shared their stories candidly around how, you know, easily they became addicted to things and how, you know, it isn't, there is no sort of, any idea you have of a stereotypical addict, just throw it away, because the stereotypical addict could be your next door neighbor, it could be your child, it could be you. And so there isn't a, you know, if I were to describe to you what this addict looked like, there is none of that. And so, you know, we have families in our community that are just like any one of us who have lost children to overdose or who have lost a loved one to overdose. I have a friend who recently lost, it was actually their ex-husband, but recently lost someone very close to them. And, you know, their pathway to addiction started as someone who dealt with chronic pain and progressed. And this individual was only in their early 40s. So, I mean, it can affect any one of us. And so we just have to throw away those stereotypes and all of us empower ourselves with education around the issue.
And on that note, I know you mentioned about that opioid is basically to deal with pain. If you don't mind, if you could discuss it a little bit further, how would physical therapy be able to help curb this epidemic that's happening, if you may?
Well, you know, I'm certainly not the expert on physical therapy, but what I can say is anything that we can do to prevent injury or to treat injury in ways that kind of allow us other opportunities besides just prescribing something that may not necessarily be addressing the source of the pain or maybe just dulling the pain. With physical therapy, many individuals who have really benefited from learning how to do the proper techniques, the proper stretching techniques, they have rehabbed from an injury in proper supervised ways without then re-injuring themselves or needing to be on medication longer than, you know, initially after a surgery or something like that. So I think there's a lot of opportunity within that sort of discipline to really be looking at alternative ways to help people address pain and, more to the point, even prevent continued pain.
Exactly, and not being drug dependent. And to those listeners out there, with everything that Ms. Kessler just identified, feel free to listen to our first podcast and our fourth podcast, wherein we discuss about the importance of physical therapy and working with with pain. So again, you don't have to be drug dependent, because again, as Ms. Kessler identified, you're if you're masking the pain with these drugs, you're not necessarily addressing the problem. And that's where addiction could lead to would lead to that specific path that, again, we're all trying to go ahead and avoid. All right. Wonderful. So is there anything else that you would like to add regarding LHIC or any other initiatives?
Well, you know, first, I'd just like to start again by thanking you for inviting us to share about the LHIC. And I think, you know, what I would love to say and just encourage people to do is to become involved. We are your community coalition. Anyone is welcome to come to the meetings and to attend. We have the schedule. We do keep the schedule up to date on the community calendar that's available on our website. You can certainly reach out to us, and we're always happy to just share with you a little bit more about what's going on. We have people who come and they'll just check out the meetings. We have some people who you know, really want to get involved in a specific activity. So we invite you to be involved however you see fit, and we just encourage you to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's at hclhic.org, and again, same website. So we look forward to, you know, hopefully having some new folks interested in joining with us.
Yes, feel free to go ahead and join in, everyone. And again, if you're asking where your tax dollars are going, this is another way for you to go ahead and be more informed of what we're doing with these programs and how we could go ahead and get better. And again, to in terms of maintaining that status of being a best city to live in, but if other cities would be able to go ahead and follow whatever it is that we're doing here, why not? And again, we need everybody's help here in order to go ahead and contribute. Okay, so for our next program, we'll have our physical therapist, Ms. Nina Criselda Evangelista, again. We have been discussing the importance of the role of physical therapy in rehabilitation. However, at AA Physical Therapy, we're expanding our rehabilitation program after our patients complete their physiotherapy treatment. And as discussed in our previous program with a physical therapy assistant here at HCC, the two main goals of physical therapy is pain relief or pain management and to restore normal function and movement, wherein PT should be chosen as one of the first choice in dealing with such problems. And we just discussed regarding the opioid epidemic. However, we want to extend and expand our services regarding maintenance and prevention, fitness, and overall wellness. For example, we plan to incorporate meditation, nutrition, and stress management with this program. As I have been an instructor for psychology for almost 2 decades, and with my certified personal training certificate, both Nina and I, with a collaboration with other leaders in the wellness field, we will discuss how we are moving into a more holistic approach in terms of rehabilitation and prevention. We will unveil the name of our health and wellness program in that podcast, so please stay tuned. And we also discussed earlier in terms of health insurance, and we will also discuss real briefly about what a copay is, what a deductible is, and the like. So we'll clarify those things too. As always, we appreciate you listening, downloading, and sharing our program to your loved ones. For AA Physical Therapy and with Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College, this is Manuel, your host. We are signing off for now and look forward to have you in our next program. Thank you.